Good morning, everyone, and most welcome to our report for the second quarter 2017. There hasn't been much noise, but below the no noise, we are very pleased to report yet another very strong quarter, both financially and operationally. Revenue is up, EBITDA is up, result is up compared to the first quarter this year, and of course, also compared to the second quarter 2016. Some of this is explained by the oil price, but by no means everything. Production remains stable, and we expect it to remain stable for the foreseeable future, for at least for the rest of this year. That's partly connected to the OPEC-induced limitations to support the oil price. That's, of course, so far seems to have been successful, with the average selling price for us being $53.70 for the second quarter, which is up as compared to the first quarter 2017. Earnings per share up, cash down a bit, partly explained by the dividend that we declared and paid in May, but also certain working capital adjustments that we will comment a bit more later on. Operationally, doing what we do best, drilling wells. 12 wells were drilled and completed on blocks 3 and 4. All of them did what they were supposed to do, including yet another exploration well, the Alpha-1, which came in and fed oil to surface. The Farha South field, our bellwether field, continued to deliver very much according to plan, and yet another undrilled fault block came in and will remain actually at 100% success. We believe that the exploration success and the continued development, successful development of the Farha South field has indeed increased our production capacity. Given the limitations following the OPEC agreement, we expect that production will remain stable at these levels with some monthly fluctuations, but basically at these levels for the rest of 2017. Our asset base is certainly not very noisy. It's blocks 3 and 4 in Oman, the continued slow decline in Lithuania, although we do look at the exploration upside there, and the French licenses, where we finally, at the very eve of the change of government in France this spring, saw the Atala license get some new life. We are finally going through some more data on that license, whereas we expect the LS license to be formally removed shortly. Of course, it is Oman that is the main success story, and the 2016 reserves stand at 21.4. Should remember that that was a reserve replacement ratio of more than 170%. Of course, we are hopeful that we will continue to have see reserve growth following the exploration success we've had. We'll know more about that, of course, when we get the numbers for 2017. Production, reasonably stable, between 12,000 barrels and 13,000 barrels a day, 12,500 barrels, 11,000 for June, and we expect that to fluctuate a bit but stay within range. Looking at the 3 years, 2014, 2015, 2016, we saw a continued production increase, whereas the last four quarters have been more stable, as commented. Revenue dropped 14%, 15%, 16%, but is perking up again, Q4 16 at 20, Q1 17 at 29, Q2 17 at 31. That is, of course, a function both of the oil price, but also of OPEX coming down. Sales follow production with no major lifting positions changed. And of course, the oil price is trading upwards again. As we notice in the report, we are not overly optimistic that we're going to break out of the range where we are at, but as it's obvious from this report, we make good money also at these prices. Jesper, do you want to take it from here and give us some more details on the financials?
Thank you, Magnus. Good morning, everyone. I will kick off with slide 10, which is EBITDA, which is definitely up Q2 versus Q1. This is a consequence of higher revenue and lower capex. Moving on to expenses, slide 11. OPEX is falling with a flat production, meaning that our OPEX per barrel is also falling. The admin expenses during the quarter was slightly up due to the incentive program, which has now been recurring in the second quarter, so we expect to return to more normal levels going forward. And moving on to what we get per barrel, OPEX and netback per barrel, page 12. We have a new low of $7.3 per barrel in OPEX, and our netback for the quarter was a very healthy $20.6. So during the first half so far, we've been well below $8 in OPEX per barrel, and during these times of production limitations, we can also focus on optimizing the Purdue production operations, which has resulted in good OPEX numbers. Net result after tax, not much to comment. a very healthy 10 million plus for the quarter and 17 for the first half. And per share, this translates into 31 cents per share during Q1 compared to 19 cents. Sorry, 31 cents per share during Q2 compared to 19 cents during Q1. Balance sheet, this is where we've seen some movements during the quarter. The reduction in net cash is due to us paying the dividend in May, but also due to changes in working capital. We have during Q2 paid four monthly cash calls. This is due to a calendar effect, and we expect this to be corrected during the remainder of the year, meaning that we'll pay two cash calls in most likely Q3. So the effect should even out. Dividend was a total of 3.8 million during the quarter, and we've also seen some other changes in working capital. So that explains the reduction in cash position. Finally, for me, oil and gas investments. We came in slightly up in capex during the quarter of $15.1 million. this is higher than the average, the past average, and Q2 includes somewhat higher investments, and we do expect a return downwards during the remainder of the year. we have the two new potential fields, and the potential development of those may affect CapEx going forward, but Q2 is slightly higher than the average. And with that, I hand over to Magnus again. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesper. Thank you so much. So turning to slide 16, wells in Oman, we'll spend a little bit of time on actually analyzing what these numbers mean in some detail. First, I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that we have been reasonably stable over the last three quarters, drilling about just around a dozen wells a quarter. And these fall in several categories, all aimed, of course, at primarily increasing production. The Farha South field is one of the more drilling-intensive fields. Well costs for a production well is down to the hundreds of thousands of dollars for Tethys Shale. It's a very efficient, very smooth operation, well understood. The appraisal production wells we have for several years now been running at 100% success rate in actually drilling producers and producing oil. Water injection is working out very, very well, and we continue to bring the newly drilled fault books, I should say, into water injection, and we have a very good understanding of how we shall continue to develop this field and also increase its potential. Shahadan Sawan, we're also there maturing. We are getting a good grasp of both the Khufai and the Buwa formations. The appraisal production wells drilled have all come in. Water injection, given that these are carbonates, are a little bit trickier, and we are also going a little bit slower in implementing the water injection program there, trying to make sure that we really get good value for money as we do it. And then the near field exploration. This is basically where we go for the same play that we have proven in the Shahad and Sawan area, i.e. we go for the Buwa and Khufai carbonates. Outside of the Sawan and Shahad fields, but reasonably close to those areas. And we've had two prospects that were mapped over the last year, drilled this year, both came in. And turning to the next slide, we'll put that a little bit into geographic perspective. We see here the block boundaries, the blue lines, and the red line outlines the 3D seismic coverage that we have that we have to date. We see the Farha South field, the long elongated green spot in block 3, and just below that, the Alpha 1 well. Now, the Alpha is a different creature from Farha South, although there is close proximity. Alpha is quite interesting in that it is producing from the carbonates, suggesting that the large carbonate section that we produce from in Shahad and Sawan in Block 4 may extend all the way up to the fringes of the clastics in the Farha South field. So we are, of course, quite encouraged by the Alpha One well so far. We will do an appraisal program of Alpha this year, and hopefully we will turn this into a new carbonate field, the first one then actually in Block 3. The Irfan well is more of a carbonate extension, but to the east instead of to the north of the producing Shahad and Sawan fields. It's several kilometers away from what's previously been known to be producing, and it's from that point of view also quite significant. First appraisal well came in fine on Erfan-1, and again here we look at the potential of developing this area into a new field. Note though that we are still just talking about the potential that we have for the known plays. We have a number of other play concepts that we will eventually mature and test. Turning to Shahad and Sawan, they are centered around a carbonate platform with a set of sweet spots in a reasonably well-defined geological area. We are continuing to map sweet spots as we understand better and better understand the mechanisms, both of the Bua and the Houthi. We have, as I've noticed, a very good success rate also in these fields now. Not quite as good as the one in the far south field, but still quite good. And in the top part of this slide, we see the additional prospects that are part of the Shahad complex. And of course, we are eager to drill those also to further extend that field to the north. Turning to far south, and this illustrates well the point made in the letter to the shareholders that there has not been a lot of noise, and it may not be obvious how we move forward in small but successful steps. The far south field at the 31st December 2016, where we have the water, the blocks fully developed with water injection, prospects, and the green blocks being the ones in production but not yet with water injection. We turn forward to the situation as of June 30th, 2017, and the changes are not all that obvious when you just look at the mapped like this, but we have two more green blocks, the C and the AS block, and added a third one in the second quarter, the O block, firming up the entire trend as being oil bearing. And we have two more blue blocks, the AK and the AG, that were green at the previous time. And we still have at least five well-defined prospects ready to go. So small steps forward, but continue to strengthen the case for the FARA, while we have seen some very nice exploration success, again standing there at 100% in the prospects we have drilled and brought forward. And turning to the last slide of the geological presentation, we have a number of near-field prospects yet to drill, where we are in effect going for look-alike situations to the Shahad and Sawan fields, and hopefully now also the Ulfa and Erfan. But in particular, in the southern part of the block, a number of leads that we are maturing into prospects, some of them quite substantial, that would be new play concepts in that part of the block. And we are, of course, eagerly looking forward to the day when we drill the first exploration well in that area. So to summarize, it's been quite a strong quarter. With stable production, we have increased revenue, and especially the EBITDA figure is quite impressive in our view, where we've almost created as much cash for the company in the first half of 2017 as we did for the full year of 2016. And the aggressive drilling program continues, 12 new wells completed on the blocks 3 and 4, all of them doing what they were set out to do, and at a very cost-efficient operation. Focus for the remainder of the year will, of course, be partly on the new discoveries, and it's the intention to appraise them fully during the remainder of the year, and hopefully we will be able to see them turn into new oil fields. While, of course, at the same time, we continue to develop the Farha South field, and we mature prospects, both near field but also far field on the blocks. That's really what we wanted to highlight to you this morning, and we'd now like to open the floor for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. That's 01 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. Please stand by while we register the first question. And the first question comes from the line of Johan Nilsson with Remium. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. I can start with a question about OPEX per barrel. I'm wondering if it's the majority is effect of cost cutting, or if it's so to speak volume or scale effect, and even going forward for this item.
Well, the scale effect can be fairly much ruled out since the production is flat. But during this period with the production limitations, we can focus on an efficient organization and operation, and obviously building production capacity and producing where it's most suited for the time being, so we can have an efficient operation.
Okay, is it fair to expect some more cost cutting to do in this going forward in the OPEX, or is it more fair to say it should be like historical?
Well, not like historical, because historically we've been definitely a dollar or two higher. To draw this line into eternity going forward, I wouldn't do that. We're quite comfortable in the range $7 to $8 per barrel, which is the near historical average, and that's quite a comfortable position to be in.
Okay, thanks. And about production limitations, when those are lifted, could you in Q2 2018, could you give us some kind of guidance of the full production potential after that?
I think actually we'll be in better position to answer that question as we get closer to that date. There's a lot happening in the field, and I think it's a bit premature to comment on that right now.
Okay, thanks. And the last question, it's just, I didn't really copy what Jesper Alm said about the CAPEX going forward, so could you please reiterate on that one? You mentioned something about the CAPEX, I didn't copy.
Yeah, the CAPEX for Q2 is a bit higher than the average, and we have previously said that CAPEX for the full year will be in the neighborhood of last year, so doing the maths could imply somewhat lower CAPEX during the remainder of the year on a quarterly basis.
Okay, thank you. That was all for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And moving on to the line of Johan Svet with Pareto Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you, and good morning, Magnus and Jesper. Two questions on my end. First off, on the current production situation, of course, being limited by the OPEC agreement. How are you just sort of practically managing that in the fields? You mentioned you have, I guess, the luxury now to kind of choose a bit from which parts of the blocks you are producing, but I'm guessing you're also to some extent use your storage tanks to sort of smooth production out across months, or how should we think about that being done?
As you very rightly pointed out, and this is a great opportunity to actually work on optimizing and understanding the production flows of the driven wells without actually affecting the export outcome. And this is done in an orderly and normal fashion, just as you would tweak and turn off a little here, turn on a little bit there, depending on the results you get. So it's really it's no major rocket science. It's basic field management, but of course it's a good opportunity to really learn more and build capacity while we are waiting for both prices and production opportunities to arise.
Right. So as a follow up there, for example, the new fault blocks that you've drilled in the far south field this quarter, are all of those being turned to production straight away, or are some of them being shut in the backlog? Or?
Sorry, all the Farah wells are hooked up to the production system. Then, of course, this gives the opportunity to say we go a little bit slower on some of the older wells while you produce the new wells a little bit faster at first, and then it just gives an added possibility of optimization. But it's nothing that is that is out of the ordinary. What we would have done anyway. It's just that this way we can do it without affecting the export numbers directly.
Mm. Got it. And then the second topic I wanted to touch upon, the new sort of near field exploration wells that you drilled recently that you discussed in your remarks there, the Ulfa well and the Erfan wells, I guess, because I guess you've drilled two wells on Erfan at this point. Yeah. Can you provide any additional color there on sort of flow rates and expectations on what they might turn out to be?
As you know, we prefer to do that when we know what we're talking about. But as I did mention, that they are the same place that we have in the Khufai and the Shahad, and we would expect, provided they held up for appraisal, we would expect a similar approach to developing Ulfa and Erfan. If they are so good that we can develop them into new fields, we would expect a similar approach that we've had to the Sawan and the Shahad. In effect, they are the same players. We are looking at the Khufai and the Buah carbonates, and we would expect a similar approach.
Right. And in terms of the plans you have at the moment for both of them, you're thinking about appraisal activities at least for the rest of 2017 before being able to say more about the details.
I would say the obvious next cutoff would be that they would appear in the reserve update for year end 2017, and of course we are anxious to have as much data as possible assembled for that. But they are hooked up for long term production tests. So it's going to be a very smooth transition, shall we say, from appraisal to development.
Right. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And moving on to the line of Taylor Nielsen, Sparbank 1 Markets. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, Magnus and Jesper. Thanks for taking my questions. A couple of questions. One follow-up on CAP. So yes, we are pretty clear on the capex for the remainder of 2017. But looking into 2018, how sensitive will the activity level be to the oil price towards the end of the year? Should we expect any higher capex or lower capex for 18? And then second question is a little bit around M&A and the M&A market in general. What do you see? Have bid-ask spreads come in, or have they widened over the past few quarters?
Okay, I'll start with the CapEx to 2018. Starting off, it's a bit premature to give any detailed comments on that. We have been fairly steady over the past couple of years on the CapEx spend, slightly increasing over the years. And that has been obviously taking oil price into consideration, but we have invested steadily since we get good pay back on our investments. So what to say for 2018? Premature, but historically we have been fairly resilient to changes in oil price because we have good opportunities of investing in a paced manner. When it comes to M&A, we haven't seen an awful lot of potential transactions, and the bid-ask spread complicating factor still remains in the market for good assets, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it may be fair to say that we've seen a little bit more on, shall we say, a willingness for larger companies to streamline their portfolios. This has been talked about a lot in consolidation and in streamlining, but we are finally seeing maybe a little bit more activity there from a number of players. Needless to say, there's a lot of offshore activity also, which is something we would not look at. But we've also seen some onshore activity, and that's of course something we follow closely. As far as completed transactions, no, I can't say that we have really seen an uptick on those, but we've seen maybe more potential out there, at least than we've seen for the last 2 years. So we remain hopeful that activity will pick up.
So, could you just remind us of what kind of asset you're looking at? Will it be development, production, or which phase of the life cycle do you spend most time on?
Well, you know, I mean, our preferred part would be shall we say, an appraisal project. We still would prefer, I mean, obviously there can be exceptions, but we would prefer to stay away from rank exploration and rank wildcatting. And we believe that our expertise is within the appraisal phase, where we are developing a strong skill set in taking what previous operators have considered too difficult to do something with. And we have now a good track record of actually turning that into something good. So I would say that would be what we would primarily be interested in. Then, of course, there are permutations of that, but I think typically we would stay away from mature production. We are not tail-end producers. We are more of exploration appraisalists and then take it from there. So early appraisal is probably what we would be highest up on our wish list. Now, if we can find something like that, that's a different story.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. No further questions in queue. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, please press 01 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask a question. And as there are no questions in queue, I would like to return the conference call to the speakers.
And this is the perfect time for us to thank you so much for your questions and for listening. And if not before, we'll hopefully talk to you again on the 7th of November when we publish the report for the third quarter. Thank you, and see you then.